The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder what kind of government does God approve of, especially since our republic seems so anemic when people want to get things done. Well, my friend, the kind of freedom guaranteed in a republic is about the best we can hope for in this life. Certainly, anytime you put sinful people in charge of anything, there will be problems, regardless of what form of bureaucracy they're working under, but far less problems in a republic, provided it's a real republic, not something like the Republic of Iran. But again, even a real republic will have problems as long as it has people. With that in mind, the most effective government, believe it or not, is a benevolent monarchy, where the king doesn't have to check with committees and polls and focus groups before making a decision. Unfortunately, the operative word there is benevolent, which we hardly ever see, obviously. Kings and emperors have also been sinful, worse than sinful, evil, and unchecked power allows sin to flourish even more. Have there ever in our history been any benevolent monarchies? A handful. But naturally, the only perfect hope is to look toward the return of King Jesus, God incarnate, perfect, sinless, genuinely loving, and consistently benevolent. In the meantime, speaking of monarchies, or I should say alleged monarchies, the royal family of Great Britain is once again in the news, a family that no longer rules as a genuine monarchy, not with any real teeth, a powerless family of figureheads, which nevertheless sucks the oxygen out of our American news networks. Let me say this as clearly as I can. In the midst of all that's going on in the world, especially all that's been going on in these last 2 weeks, I just don't give a flying leap about the ins and outs of Britain's royal family. Actually, let me amend that comment. Even if there was nothing else going on in the world, I wouldn't care about Britain's royal family. I would find a news story on the current features of world tundra more exciting. The real news, of course, is the situation with Iran. In their attempts to filter the news for us, the mainstream media continues to carry water for our Washington Democrats, offering one pearl of wisdom after another. To save time, allow me to distill it all down for you. The summary of wisdom from the left: if we stand up to murdering terrorists, they might get so mad that they commit murder and terror. You've just been listening to the wisdom of the left. And now, let me introduce a man who offers real wisdom. Say hello to Pastor Jim Barrier.
You know, one of my favorite taglines that you've used over the years is making the obvious obvious. That was a great example of it. Well, hi, Bob.
Happy good to see you.
It's great to be on the show. Start the year off right.
Absolutely.
And, been looking forward to this. And forgive me for this, but I need to say to all the listeners that I would like to be the very first person in 2020 to wish you Merry Christmas.
Oh, okay. Looking ahead to next Christmas now.
Well, I can, I think I love Christmas as much as you do.
We still have something. Christmas lights up on our home. It's us. It's between us and about two other houses in the neighborhood. I I continue celebrating Christmas all winter long. So
they do that out here, but we call them rednecks.
Well, I don't make my audience go through it. I've discontinued the Christmas bumper music, but I was actually listening to a CD of Christmas music on the way up in the car. So
I'll bet you were. You know, I wanted to comment. You were talking about the monarchy, and I'm kind of with you on the whole royal family thing, but there is a great comparison that A.W. Tozer made in his article, The Waning Authority of Christ in the Church, and it was he compared the church to a monarchy that has a figurehead, a king or a queen who really doesn't do anything, but comes out and takes a bow once in a while. But the parliament and the prime minister actually run the show. And he likened the church to that, where we have our king, Christ, and we have pictures of him and statues, and he takes a bow once in a while. But the pastor and the board really are the ones making the decisions and the ones that have the authority. And it was a pretty sobering analogy.
I think it's a great analogy, and I thought Tozer was a brilliant writer, one of my favorites.
Yeah,
you really see that at church business meetings where they have this schedule. We're going to do old business. We're going to do new business. But they'll always get up at the beginning, Lord, please lead this business meeting when we talk about the things you want to talk. But they've already passed out an agenda where they've made it very clear what's going to be discussed, what's not going to be discussed, what they're going to allow to bring up, what they're going to say. You have to say that for another meeting. So it does become kind of a joke. We have kind of in a sense, in a lot of churches, stripped King Jesus of his power.
Oh, it's true. And I think when you said that, I thought perhaps he misunderstood. They said, Lord, please leave this meeting. And he thought they said, please leave this meeting.
Yeah, very good.
I was in a board meeting at one church in particular where I was
board being the operative word.
And we were going round and round about some things. We wanted to move. Some of us wanted to try some things that were a little creative, a little non-traditional, and because we're reaching young people, street people that really didn't have the background of all the church traditions. And I said, you know, we have to decide which of our traditions are really not worth holding on to. So they could move forward. And a man actually said in this meeting these immortal words, well, it's not tradition, it's just the way I've always done it.
and of course, what else is tradition?
And it floored me. So that's been something that's echoed in my brain for 26 years or more. But so here we are. I wanted to talk this evening about things that we see going into this year. This is a very critical year on many levels for the church, for the world, for our nation. I want to do a little interviewing. I want to ask you some questions, and we will discuss these things as we have time.
Okay.
You ready? You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. I know you follow the news, and you probably get as sick of some of it as I do, but what will happen with the impeachment? Is Nancy going to go ahead and turn in the articles this week like she said she would? And if she does, what will happen? What are your predictions?
Well, she will finally turn them in because even some of the Democrat senators are getting fed up with her.
That says something.
I think what was going on in her mind was, A, she knew it was a weak case.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want us to go through most of the election year with Trump saying he was acquitted. She figured, well, if I never deliver them, then the word is he's been impeached. And there are a lot of people out there that think the word impeached means removed from office. I mean, who are we kidding?
Right.
That's not what it means. It's the same as it's another word for indictment. And that's the Senate has the trial. Now, what's going to go on in the Senate? It depends on whether Mitch McConnell sticks to his guns. I don't trust Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Roberts, any farther than I can throw.
Yeah.
And although he doesn't render the verdict, he's the one who rules. So if Chuck Schumer starts screaming and crying that we need to bring in more evidence, which ironically is an admission that they put forth pretty poor evidence from the House.
Mm-hmm.
But Robert, you never know what Roberts will do. He's the new Kennedy, and he just may rule on some of these things. He may reverse executive privilege on some things. They may have John Bolton testify. I have no idea what he's going to say. It doesn't sound like it's going to be too good, but I don't know that it would be condemning evidence. I don't know, but it's really, once that trial really gets going, it's going to be up to Chief Justice Roberts. That makes me nervous because he's been back and forth, and I think he likes being back and forth. I think in his mind, being objective is going, well, I'll do one for the Republicans and one for the Democrats. But he's trying to make it look like he's neither liberal nor conservative. He's always saying, well, judges aren't liberal or conservative. They're just judges. Well, yeah, that's an accurate description of the way judges should be. That's not an accurate description of the way they are. And I think in his mind, being objective is to give one to each side back and forth like a volleyball, rather than just going with what the Constitution says every single time. So that's my concern, Chief Justice. He will decide how this is going to finally turn out, Roberts.
Okay. So do you think it has any chance of getting through the Senate?
I think he'll get convicted? No, I think he'll get acquitted in the Senate, but I think it'll get dragged out longer. It should just be dismissed. Those charges against him do not qualify as high crimes or misdemeanors. One of them is obstruction of justice. You know what they're calling obstruction of justice? He went to the courts. He wanted to invoke executive privilege. They didn't want him to. He goes to the courts to decide our third branch of government. And the Democrats practically live for the courts. They love going to the courts when it suits them. And we're calling that obstruction of justice? Give me a break. So this thing should be dismissed. They should say this is a bogus impeachment. It doesn't even count as such. But I don't think that's what it's going to happen. I think they're going to bring in other evidence and other witnesses, which is wrong because the Democrats should have already done that in the House. And the Senate should not have to try their case for them. They're supposed to just be making a ruling. But it's going to depend on Roberts. And I just, there's a 50-50 shot of what he will do. So I'm a little nervous. But what I mean is I believe it'll get dragged out. At the end of the day, I do believe Trump will get acquitted. Yes.
Okay. And I tend to think along the same lines. Will this, as several have suggested, will this backfire in the face of the Democrats, and will it basically destroy any chance they have of putting any candidate up there that could get elected as president?
I believe so. I believe Trump is going to win by a landslide. I believe we're going to retake the House and keep the Senate by a landslide. I wish I could say that all the state legislatures like California are also going to get replaced by a landslide. That I don't think is going to happen. But yes, I believe it will backfire. But if this goes through, even to the trial, impeachment will never be the same again. Every time our president's put in office, if the other party's holding the House and the Senate, they'll just keep impeaching him. Okay, we will be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always great to be joined by my good friend, Pastor Jim Barrier.
Well, you answered three questions in one.
Oh.
I'll recap.
Get me going.
That's okay. It was kind of, you know.
Couldn't we just say one, but it was a part A, part B, part C?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, will it backfire? Yes. And I was going to ask, do you think the GOP will win back the House? And you pretty much indicated that. And if they don't,
our country's gone certifiably insane.
Well, you know, you live in a state where the unthinkable takes place every day. So,
yeah, that is true.
And you mentioned that. You talked about California. One of my questions is, will the madness end in California? What would it take? Have so many people that can't take it anymore left the state, which means you have an even weaker base of conservatives to try to counter this. What's going to happen?
I don't know, and I have to confess I've considered leaving myself. But, yeah, the ones that would fight this are leaving because they're seeing it as a futile battle, and they want to at least take care of their families, which I can't blame them for.
Yeah.
There is an effort to recall Governor Newsom. I doubt that it's going to be successful. I don't know. I don't know how bad it's going to have to get in California before even the Democrats wake up. It is getting pretty bad. So maybe we'll reach critical mass, but I would have said we reached critical mass 5 years ago. So we'll just have to see.
It just seems every turn, I think, you're kidding me. I didn't think it could get any worse. And just to clarify again for listeners, California is my home state. I am a third-generation San Diego native.
So you're one of those ones that deserted us and left us to fight this thing for ourselves.
Well, 30 years ago.
Well, again,
it seems so much like
and again,
now.
I may be right behind you, so I can't really condemn you for it. I really can't.
But it does. You know, I make light of some of it, and I take pot shots, but it breaks my heart because California is such a special place to me, and I have deep roots there, and I have many friends, yourself included, and I try to visit, which, by the way, I will be in San Diego in June, and I was hoping I will be there on June the 7th, which is a Sunday, and maybe we can set up, if you're not already booked, I could come and do the show in the studio with you.
Oh, well, that's far enough in the future that we'll definitely book you. Just send me a text or something so that I can say this when I have a calendar in front of me. But
Absolutely.
Well, I was going to say, we still have Disneyland, but pretty soon they're going to change California Adventure to Disney's Sanctuary State Adventure.
You know, it's kind of a fantasy land in itself, but
California itself is more of the fantasy than Disneyland.
I'll tell you what. So you answered those questions. We have talked for over a year now about what we think will happen with the Democratic ticket, and you have said a few times that you think that the person that's actually going to wind up being on their ticket hasn't even participated in the debates and hasn't made themselves known yet.
Yeah, I said that before Bloomberg got in the race, but I don't think it's going to be him. It's hard to say. It looks like we're going to have a brokered convention one way or the other, but here's the problem. If they give the nomination to Biden, which I hope they do, the Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren people, most of them will not go out and vote for Biden. They'll feel betrayed. I don't believe in socialism at all, but I believe some of them are pure socialists that will abide by their principles. The moderates, on the other hand, if the nomination went to Bernie, they would vote for a socialist only because they'd say, well, we got to still vote for the Democrat. It's better than Donald Trump.
Exactly.
So I'm kind of rooting for Biden, plus the fact that he's such a blithering idiot. It'll be the best entertainment money can buy.
Yeah. He just, boy.
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it makes me wish I had a late night show on TV, but no one would tune in because I'd be making fun of the Democrats.
Exactly.
And then there was something I also wanted to bring. We were talking about the impeachment and all of these things going on. Do you think there's any real chance that when the dust settles that they will go after any of the liberals who have made up stories, who have basically lied under oath? And there have been some, I think there have been some crimes committed on the other side. Some of these people that have brought false accusations, made up stories, imaginary witnesses. Do you think they'll go after anybody?
I don't know, Jim. I like Barr. He's certainly a better attorney general than Sessions was. But Judicial Watch continues to try to get information which our Justice Department still won't cooperate with and give them.
Yeah.
And the Justice Department is being led by Barr. Now, maybe there's so many bureaucrats in there that he's trusting people to do the right thing. I think we'll probably see some prosecutions of some low-level people. But the people that should be going to jail, like Comey, like Brennan, like Clapper, I would be very surprised if that happens. And Hillary should be going to jail. Obama should be going to jail.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think that anybody would have. I think the nerve, the money, the power, or the bulletproof vest, attempt to do things like that. But it just seems to me to be so one-sided right now. You know, it's probably been like this for a long time.
I think it has been. And I think Trump is such a bull in a china cabinet that he just brought everything to light. And that's why they don't like him.
Yeah.
That's why they want it, because it was Republicans and Democrats both. Just one hand stroking the other. It was truly the deep state. And he is really upset. That's why we have a lot of never Trumper Republicans, too.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think I think it's why he won the first election is because enough Americans are tired of or are afraid of that whole thing, the deep state. And, you know, we heard the term drain the swamp. I think nobody realized how deep the swamp is.
They didn't. This is a swamp bigger than the Grand Canyon. And I don't think Trump himself knew how deep it was. All right. Well, there's certainly depth to our breaks, so we will be right back. Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric. Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connors' strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home, and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Accidentally send texts to the wrong person, especially if there are two people I had recently texted within a few minutes. I did it again just recently, and I've done it quite often in the past. Lucky for me, I have no deep, dark secrets in my life. Apparently, I would not keep the secret for very long. Say hello again to Pastor Jim Barrier.
I know exactly what you're talking about. So now let's turn our attention for a few minutes on the church, and I mean, you know, the church at large, really the Western American church, and some of the things that I see. We're going to prognosticate, which, by the way, you probably know this, the word foreknowledge that we have in the scripture is prognosis. It's much like when a doctor sees something happening in a body, or the weatherman gets up and predicts the weather. In God's case, he's just a lot smarter and has access to things that are absolute and certain. But I would like to prognosticate a little bit concerning the church.
Okay.
And the first thing is something that I am certain of. I am retiring March 1st from my position at Southtown Community Church in San Antonio.
Are you still going to attend that church?
Well, the church that's taking over, yes, I'm going to at least give it a try and go.
Oh, they're merging with another church? I see.
Yes. And I don't want to drag out the whole story, but basically because at this for the last couple of years I have not had an associate in place to take over for me. I'm it. And when I'm gone, it kind of means our church will cease to function as it has. We really don't have the means. We're not affiliated. We don't have a way to go out and try to interview people and all that. And for the last 2 years, I've been mentoring a young man who's pastoring a church of millennials, a bunch of young kids, couples and families. So we have basically joined together. Right now, I do the morning service. He does the evening service. We're going to flip-flop that in a couple of weeks to get ready for the big transition.
Well, good. You're doing a gradual transition. That's very wise.
So we'll move to the evening. He'll do the morning service, and then it will all just be one group on the morning service. But I will not be the person doing the preaching and stuff. But I do want to stay there kind of in an advisory role. It's been kind of fun for me to spend time with this young guy because it's his first time of doing this, and there's a lot of things they just don't prepare you for.
Well, I hope they retain a lot of the flavor and uniqueness you brought to that church, because you have done a wonderful job.
Well, I appreciate that, and it has been a great ride for me. And a lot of people have been saying, well, you know, how can you retire? And this is what I've come to realize in the last several weeks. I'm retiring from my position with a religious organization. I will no longer have the office or title of pastor, but I am not retiring from who I am or what I do as a basic lifestyle, those things won't change. You know, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, I think is what it says somewhere. And so I will always be who I am and do the things that I'm known for doing, and have become comfortable within my own existence of the ministry, the gifts, the things that I know God has called me to do. Those things will stay the same. I just won't get paid for it.
Right. Well, I like what you mentioned on a previous show when you told us a few months ago you were going to retire. You said in the New Testament, the way a lot of the ministers retired is that they were martyred and put to death.
Yeah. And I'm not really hoping for that to happen.
That's not quite the pension plan you were looking for, is it?
No. But that is a big change that's going to happen with me. But I've been noticing some things, and one of them, there's a rather high-profile case happening with a church here in our city. It's a United Methodist Church. This particular church has been same-sex friendly, so they don't have a problem with doing marriages for same-sex couples, and they don't have a problem with homosexual people being in office or even ordained. And of course, right now, that doesn't fly in the United Methodist Church. So I think there's going to be a split within that denomination. And I think you're going to have one group going one way and one going the other way. And I think that's going to be common across the boards. I think there are going to be more and more churches who are going to endorse or be supportive of same-sex marriage and ordination. And I also think things like pro-choice, pro-life, the issues of abortion, there are more and more people in churches that are backing off and saying, well, you know, it's a woman's right, it's her body, and blah, blah, blah. And the whole socialism thing that seemed unthinkable not too many years ago, I talk to people that attend church regularly, and they're sympathetic to those things. And so I think there's going to be a movement with some people moving further to a liberal stance. I have had discussions with friends of mine who are in ministry that say things like, well, you can't take all of the Bible. It's not all relevant to us, and it doesn't apply to our culture. Which is just a slippery slope, because you start tearing pages out of the Bible, and pretty soon, how do you decide what's true, what's not, you know?
Well, that's the point. I always ask people, what is your objective standard for deciding which parts really come from God, aside from keeping the ones you like and discarding the ones you don't like?
Exactly.
Nobody ever has a good answer for that.
But I think that's going to become more and more an issue in the church, and there will be people who will say, well, we're not going to take the whole thing. We don't think it's all absolutely authoritative, and we're going to let people live the way they want to live, but they can still call themselves Christian.
Yeah, and you're right. That is absolute quicksand. Okay, hang with me over the break, my friend. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture, discussing both politics and the church today. And we were just in the middle of talking about the state of today's church and the liberal bent with some of them. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Ben, well, you have seen the same things that I've seen. At the same time, as there are people moving further and further away from a prophetic center, I think there will be some who will dig in and become more legalistic at another extreme.
Yeah, that's a problem, too, with the the legalists.
Well, a great writer one time said about the only time in history the church has seen balance between legalism and license is when the pendulum swings past midpoint. And
there's
a lot of evidence to that. But I think that you'll see a movement of people digging in and even more socially alienating themselves from relevancy by basically, you know, it's my way or the highway, and we're not going to, you know, we're not going to tolerate anything. But I think there's a third group that's going to come out of all of this. And I think they're going to be younger people who have just had it with all of the man-made stuff. I think there's going to be what you might even call a remnant. I think there's going to be a movement, a grassroots movement, even an underground movement, if you will, of people who want to follow Christ and want to believe the truths of the Scripture, and they want to do it in a real way, an authentic way. And if that means shedding some of the traditions or institutionalized things, the commercialism of the church, the politics, and all of those things, and I think there will be people who will operate and exist much like they do in some of the countries where, for instance, North Korea, China, some Muslim countries where it isn't popular or even okay to be a professing believer, but they're going to do it anyway. And right now, we don't see persecution in this country. I hope it doesn't come to that.
Well, we're a stone's throw from it, though.
Yeah, but I think there will be, I think there is a potential for a movement of people that are going to say, you know what, we're not thrown in with either side of your extremes. We want something that's real, and we want something that's life, and we want to follow Jesus and be like him. And I have hope that that will happen, and similar to what we saw a glimpse of in the Jesus movement, and in
that was big in the '60s. Yeah,
yeah, and so I am hopeful that there will be something like that.
I'm hopeful of that too, and I'm inclined to think it will happen. I just hope it happens in such a way that it doesn't have to become underground. I hope it happens in time to save our republic. But with or without the Republic, certainly the Spirit of God sooner or later will break forth the revival he wants to break forth. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it probably would be without all of the trappings of the buildings and the machinery and the programs. So it might be people meeting in the marketplace, in homes, something less formal. And there was a great house church ministry movement that took place, and it kind of went hand in hand with a lot of the shepherding thing. So there's a lot of authoritarian stuff, and it put the dampers on that.
Well, part of the problem is that they got legalistic too. Like, we meet in the homes, like the New Testament church. We're a real church. You're not a real.
Yeah.
And that's where it begins, where you get that arrogance and legalism.
Yeah, and that's always a killer. And it's in the kind of the attitude, well, you know, we understand what nobody else understands, and that's a danger.
And I like house churches. I belonged to one once, but you have to be careful to say we're one alternative way of doing it. Not all churches have to do it this way.
Exactly. And that's where, now you're very, very involved. I know at Skyline, and we just had a spot about that. And that was where I became a believer, with Skyline Church 51 years ago. And so people like you and I and others, maybe we can add to that grassroots movement and being mentors, being wisdom for people, and the experience of life, and our knowledge of the truths of the Scripture and the history of the church. We have a lot to offer in that respect, and that's, frankly, that's kind of what I'm hoping that I can do in this next exciting, the continuing saga of Pastor Jim. I'm hoping that I can you know, maybe be a help to a younger generation.
I think you'll be a tremendous help, Jim.
So that's what I'm hoping for. Now, we don't have a lot of time left, but I love to do this at the start of the year when we do our predictions. What are some movies you're aware of coming out in 2020 that you're really looking forward to? Have you heard anything?
Well, I can tell you some movies that I saw that recently came out. I've never been a big Mr. Rogers fan. I always thought he was great for kids, and my kids grew up on him. He personally made me nauseous, but I recognized that he did so many good things about telling kids, especially. But that movie, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, with Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers. Tom Hanks had become Walt Disney in the movie Saving Mr. Banks.
Yeah,
in this movie, he literally becomes Fred Rogers. You would not know it was the same actor. That's how good it was. And the movie was so creatively done and so creatively structured that despite, you're hearing this from somebody who was not a Rogers fan, it was a phenomenal movie, and I think it deserves to win Best Picture of the Year.
Well, there you go. You already answered another question. So that's your pick right now. And I haven't seen it yet, but I do want to see it. And I'm the same with you. I was very aware of Mr. Rogers, but it wasn't something I tuned into. And I love Tom Hanks. He's done an awful lot of great films. Now, I'm excited about a film that Tom Hanks is going to be in later this year. It's in pre-production or post. It's in production, but it's not. It won't be released until the end of the year, probably. And the title of the film at this stage is News of the World. I read the book.
I had not heard anything about this. Tell us about this.
It's a great story. I read the book, and when I read it, I wrote to a friend of mine who's been in the movie business, worked on Shawshank Redemption and a number of big films as an assistant director, and I said, somebody needs to do this as a film. Well, Tom Hanks is starring in News of the World, and the story is, back in the 1800s, it's a fellow that would travel around from town to town visiting the settlers, and he would bring newspaper articles from all over.
This was a true story?
No, it's a novel, but the backdrop is in real location stuff. And the reason I read it was because a lot of it takes place up here in the hill country area around surrounding areas of Texas where I live. And he would go from down the town, and he would you know, charge a nickel or whatever, and people would come in, and he would read news articles. That's the character and what he does. But then he winds up partnering with this fella that's kind of in trouble, and it's their adventures going through the Wild West and dealing with people that are trying to kill him and stuff. It was a very intriguing book, and I'm real excited that they're doing a movie. When I read that Tom Hanks was in it, I thought, okay, they're going for a good quality production here. So keep an eye out for News of the World.
Okay, now I have to say, I think he is a phenomenal actor. I have not liked everything he's done. I'm probably one of the two people in this country that couldn't stand Forrest Gump, but I know I'm in the minority on that. We'll be right back.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, what? By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. During the break, Jim, Brendan says, boy, first Elf, which I ripped to shreds a few weeks ago on my annual holiday movie review, and now Forrest Gump. And I confess to him, I'm obviously losing a lot of friends over some of my reviews, but what can I say? I march to the beat of a different drum.
Well, that's a fact. And you know, now, Forrest Gump did have something that I really loved. They had the best soundtrack of any film in that decade. They had great soundtrack.
They did. Yeah. And look, I'm not saying Tom Hanks wasn't good in it, but it was kind of a one-note performance.
Yeah, I
just thought it was stupid. Every historical thing that happened in the 60s, Forrest Gump was somehow responsible. And then when all of a sudden he decided to just jog across America for no reason, it just... I was just going, this movie's peculiar charm seems to elude me.
Okay, well, that's okay. You're entitled to your opinion because it's your show. And, of course, I had a radio show one time, and the tagline was, everyone has an opinion, so everyone's an expert. So,
oh, by the way, Brendan also says that the movie you're referring to is not going to be released till Christmas. So it's
going to
be a while. Well,
that's okay. I'll wait. I'll go see it. And then there's one other film that I'm looking forward to, and it's The Call of the Wild, starring Harrison Ford.
Oh, that should be interesting.
Yeah. And
did you ever read that original? Was that Jack London that wrote that? I think it was.
That is correct. Now, I don't know how much of the story they're actually going to tell or how true they'll stay to it.
It'll probably be about global warming now.
It'll be politicized, I'm sure. Beyond that, it's sequels and remakes of films, which a couple of breaks ago we had music from the wonderful score by Leonard Bernstein from West Side Story, and they're doing a remake of West Side Story.
I heard that, and I believe it's directed by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, it is. It's a Spielberg production.
I always get nervous with remakes because I'm going, what kind of politically correct gobbledygook are they going to put in it?
But you and I both love that movie and the music.
We used it today as bumper music, in fact.
I mentioned a couple of breaks ago. And I don't know if they're using the same songs or not.
I'm sure they'll have the same songs, but I think we're going to probably see a real different story. That's my guess.
Yeah, it's possible. Anyway, so there's a whole bunch of those type of things. There's another Wonder Woman movie coming out. There's a...
I actually liked the first Wonder Woman movie.
I did too. It's probably my favorite. It's of all of the in the last several years of all the superhero films, it's probably been my favorite.
You know, it's funny because growing up, you had the DC and the Marvel people. I was more of a DC fan with comics, but in the movies, I think the Marvel ones have been better than the DC. So my opinion about the movies has been a little different. Oh, but I did like Wonder Woman. That was a
DC. Did too. And the others, I call them the Marvel Movie of the Month Club because it seems like they release one almost every month. It's probably not that often. And there is another James Bond movie coming out, and it will be the last one. Because the rumor is, after this one, they're going to have a female 007.
Yeah, it'll be Jamie Bond or something like that.
They'll kill the franchise with that. There is another attempt to make a film out of the great book by Frank Herbert, Dune.
That last attempt was a disaster. Every person I know that loved the Dune novels just hated the movie.
To be fair, it was a lot of production issues there, too.
Yeah. There were two actual versions of Dune, and I didn't care for either one of them. Someone else is going to give it a try, so why not?
Generally speaking, the books are better than the movies, but there have been some movies that have done a good job with them.
Almost always. We got a lot of remakes, a lot of sequels, but I'm looking forward to News of the World, and I'm looking forward to Call of the Wild, because they're not remakes and sequels.
Did you see the final Star Wars, the episode 9?
I did.
What did you think?
And well, I was so glad that and it's come to an end.
Now, you know, there's a new Star Wars TV series.
I know. I haven't watched it.
Well, what I do like about it is it takes place in the Star Wars universe, but with different characters, finally.
Yeah, yeah. I have resisted so far. At some point, I probably will. And you said Star Trek. There's a new...
There's a new Star Trek
Picard
series. Yes, I've heard about that. Has that premiered yet, or is that still in the
No, it's coming out in a week or two.
Okay.
But, I'm kind of guarded about that. You know, Patrick Stewart's pretty old now, but
It's just never a good idea when they try to go back and remake and rehash. What? Just go on and do something new.
Well, you know, the problem is there's just too much money to be made. Now, bear with me here, because this is more in my wheelhouse than yours, but I'm going to make my brief...
Oh, your sports predictions, of course.
My sports predictions, and we're going to have to run, not walk, on this one.
Okay.
We had walk, don't run. Okay, I'm picking Clemson over LSU for the college football championship. After what I saw today, I'm picking the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. I'm going once again with Gonzaga to win the NCAA men's tournament in basketball.
Brandon's about falling out of his chair with some of these predictions here.
San Diego State University, I believe, will make the Final Four this year for the first time ever. And I think that the L.A. Clippers will win the NBA title, and I believe that the Astros will come back and win the World Series. There's your sports prediction.
Wow, okay. Well, we'll see how well in a couple of weeks we'll at least know how you did on the Super Bowl. But
last year
we'll have to wait longer for the others.
I was 0-for last year. I missed them all last year. So
Okay.
That's
very courageous of you to get back on the horse and try again, Joe.
Well, that was the other show we had. When Gary and I had, we had Resistance Radio, then we also had a sports call-in show. But we did the same thing. We didn't talk about so much players and stats and all that. It was all pop culture, and we would do sound bites and make fun of people. So,
Oh, there we go.
And we would have people call in and tell us who they hate, you know, because in sports it's as much about who you don't like as who you do like. So,
those are my predictions.
And at least for the sake of the Southern Californians, I went pretty heavy with West Coast teams on a lot of that. And I think the Astros...
Well, you know why? Governor Newsom hasn't decreed that sports contribute to global warming yet. So we still have a few good teams in California.
Keep it down. You're going to give him ideas.
If there was ever a chance he was really listening to this show, I'd probably be in jail.
Well, I just wanted to do my part there, but I do think we're going to have a great year. Look for more of the same. I think we're going to see a whole lot of controversy in D.C. We're going to see Mr. Trump standing up and not backing down to foreign bullies.
Well, I'll predict every news story for the whole year. Ready? Trump, yeah. Trump, Trump,
Trump. You're right.
You don't turn on the news, you just turn on the Trump.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Well, happy new year. Great to talk to you. We'll have you on again next month. And ladies and gentlemen, my lovely wife, Dana, will be co-hosting with me next week. We're going to actually pursue a theme that Jim and I barely started. We're going to talk about movies. We're also going to talk about our trip to Hawaii, which we teased you with a couple of months ago and never got around to. Some great stories from there. So lighter show next week. We'll see you then.
Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.